Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Car Talk School of Medicine here at Car Talk Plaza.
We actually have degrees in medicine, honorary degrees in medicine.
No, we don't.
This is
theology.
Things that you don't want to hear during surgery.
Biology, too.
Biology. So there you are. You're lying there on the operating table, and you're not quite asleep. And these are the things you don't want to hear. Here's the first one.
Okay.
Wait a minute. If this is his spleen, what was that? Fido, come back with that. Bad dog. Sterile schmerl, the floor's clean. There you are, you're lying there. And now we remove the subject's brain and we place it in the body of the ape. And my favorite, accept this sacrifice, O great god of the volcano.
Yeah, you never quite know. What you're subjecting yourself to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When you agree to go under the knife.
Oh. Yeah.
Right? I mean, once they put you under, that's the reason for anesthesia.
So you don't hear what's going on.
So you don't know what's going on.
If you hear them.
Because otherwise, they could just do it.
They don't want you to hear what
they say.
It's
like when you take your television in to get fixed.
Remember the guy that
was... And the guy takes it in the back. What do you think he's doing?
He's
banging the thing. Boom, boom, boom. Okay.
All set. Is that why you got that sheet around the bay in the garage?
Exactly. We don't want to... Hey, anyway, speaking of things you don't want to hear, isn't it time we took some calls?
No, I don't want to hear that either.
If you have a question about your car or anything else, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi. Who's this?
Alicia.
Hi, Alicia with an A.
A-L-I-C-I-A?
Actually, it's E-L-I-S-H-A.
Oh, you know, I sense it was an E.
It is.
Oh, because it's Alicia.
Alicia.
Alicia, yeah.
Wow, cool.
Okay.
Where are you from?
Baltimore, Maryland.
All right. What's going on, Alicia?
Well, I have a 2004 Honda Element, and it's making a scritchety sound.
A scritchety sound.
From sort of the dash windshield region.
Really?
And the best way that I can describe it is there are a bunch of mice, and they're wearing stilettos, and they're tap dancing really, really fast on a marble floor.
Are they doing like a Busby Berkeley thing, or are they just kind of random tap dancing?
Well, it's sort of random. It's in and out, and behind them are a bunch of other mice singing opera. Again, they're random, in and out, too.
So it's like
that's exactly it.
And this happens when you're driving?
This happens when I'm driving, usually on the beltway, but not like at a certain speed or around a certain turn. It just sort of comes and goes.
But if you're not, if the engine's running, but you're not going very fast.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't.
Does
so you have to be moving.
Yeah.
What's the minimum speed?
Maybe 50, 55.
Oh, 50.
It's only really when I get up to like on beltway speed.
Gotcha.
And how long has this been going on?
Well, here's the interesting thing. It's been only happening, like, for maybe 3 or 4 months. And this spring, I had my windshield replaced.
Oh.
But it didn't happen right after I had my windshield replaced. It just happened, like, a couple months ago it started.
Do you wear glasses?
Do I wear glasses?
Yeah.
No, uh-uh.
I would start wearing glasses.
Okay.
I think the windshield's about to fall out.
Oh, really?
Well, I think the scritchy noise is the windshield moving around.
Moving around.
Well, I need a helmet, too, then, don't I?
Oh, yeah, that was coming
You're
next,
need
yeah.
need a helmet, yeah.
Oh, I just assumed you drove with a helmet. Yeah, I think the windshield was perhaps installed improperly. You know, it's held in with an adhesive.
Uh-huh.
And it may be, did they do this windshield replacement at your house?
No, they did it at the dealership. It was a really long process. The first people, they didn't install it right. The second people, they installed it right, but they had to reinstall it again.
Okay.
No, I think the second people
didn't install it either.
They didn't install it right either.
Oh,
and it took
man.
A while for it to loosen up, but now it's loose.
And I think the reason it happens at high speed, and particularly if you change lanes, is that you're flexing the body, you know?
Oh.
The body's flexing, and there's also a lot of force on the windshield because of the air that's hitting it.
Oh,
and I'll bet you,
sense.
if you're driving along and you get all this stuff going on, if you put your fingers on that windshield, you'll feel it moving.
Or maybe you can get it to stop.
Okay.
Oh, here's what you do. Do you have a toilet plunger?
Yeah, actually I do.
Attach that puppy to the windshield. You can actually pull the windshield in or push it out, and I bet you can make it stop.
So I need to be driving with glasses, helmet, and toilet
plunger.
And a toilet plunger.
There you go. You're going to be a sight, Alicia.
Yeah.
Okay.
And when the police stop you, they're going to wonder what the heck is going on.
just play them the tape of the show. That's all. But I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
That makes sense. You know?
Yeah, and I don't know why. You know, you should ask the dealership to check to see if there are any service bulletins about windshield replacements. Well, why did you have the first windshield replaced?
Well, because I had a crack in it, and as it turns out, the windshield design was defective, and so it was on a recall, the windshield.
Uh-huh.
So. Yeah, so there may be something going on with these that defies proper installation. This is the first we've heard of it, but
okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's something going on. I don't have any hard evidence.
Okay.
You know, but there may be something going on that they're not telling you.
Well, great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Be sure to wear that football helmet. See you later.
Yeah, good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Steve in Charlotte.
Hey, Steve.
I have a 94 Nissan Altima. It's a 5-speed. And in the last couple months, I've started to hear a sound coming, and it sounds like air or some kind of pressurized gas being released. Like, you know, you touch the stem of a tire and the air comes out. It's like a psh, psh, and it's real short, lasts maybe half a second, and it's very random. It can happen one time or it can happen three or four times over the course of a, you know, half-hour drive, or it could happen no times at all.
And this sounds like it's coming from the passenger compartment. Is that correct?
I'd say it's more from like either under the car or from behind the driver.
I mean, how far behind the driver? I mean,
you mean like behind?
I don't know if we want to go there.
We don't want to go there, though. But if it's coming from behind, it's coming from outside the car, you mean?
Well, I don't think it's coming from inside the interior.
Yeah.
I believe it's coming from outside, underneath the vehicle somewhere.
And is it so loud that you can hear it even if you're traveling at highway speed, or do you have to be, you know, stopped?
Well, coincidentally, I heard it this morning twice. I was going about 35, and the other time I was going about 65. The other thing that's barely noticeable is when you hear the sound, you know, the engine, I don't want to say the engine, but the power almost hesitates.
Ooh, I like that.
But let me clarify that it's the sound is so quick and the physical sensation is so short that it's barely noticeable.
Right.
Right.
But it all,
only
it
a
all
person
fits
who was
with my hypothesis. Because yeah. I had written down here, which my brother won't be able to read.
Let me see. Fuel pump. I can read that.
You can read that?
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Well, it's maybe hieroglyphics.
I think your fuel pump is momentarily binding up, and what you're hearing is a little eek, eek, and it could sound like air escaping.
Okay.
But it's the bearings in the thing seizing up or the motor slowing down, and it would affect the performance of the car, certainly for a short enough period of time that you might not even be able to detect it. You might think you went over a bump or something.
Yeah, it's almost unnoticeable sometimes when it happens.
But it's a slight loss of power attributed to a drop in fuel pump pressure, because
wow,
the fuel injectors depend on the requisite amount of pressure to spray the right amount of fuel into the cylinders. And if that pressure should drop because the pump binds up for a second or a split second, then you're going to have a drop off in power, which will come right back as soon as the pump begins to work correctly.
Okay.
And the other reason that my brother is right, by the way, is that the fuel pump is the only thing behind you in the car that moves. Except for the wheels.
That's true.
Yeah. See you later, Steve.
All right, thanks.
Hey, good
guys.
Luck, Steve.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Lucy calling from San Antonio, Texas.
Lucy, what's going
San
on?
San Antonio.
I used to live there. I lived there when they were building the Alamo.
My brother is convinced that they moved the Alamo.
No, it's been there.
No. How long have you lived in San Antonio?
All my life.
How long has that been? How many years? When were you born?
28. I'm 28.
Well, yeah, enough.
I lived there in 1968.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And when I lived there in 1968, there was a little plaque that they have since hidden. Okay, and the plaque said, the Alamo used to be located way out of town, but nobody came to visit it, and we moved it brick by brick, and we put it right next to, it's right in downtown now.
Yeah, it is.
Unless they moved it again.
well, they might.
we happened to be in San Antonio one time, and my brother decides that we're going to move it back to where it was. So we tie a rope to it. This is the truth. We got a rope.
And the Texas Rangers.
The Texas Rangers were on us like a cheap suit, man.
The Alamo is a sacred shrine. And even though they should have known we were fooling around, well, they just winged my brother, and then we stopped. You know?
There we were with a rope over our shoulders, making believe we were moving to the Alamo.
Yeah, and they winged
them. The police came, and they got nasty.
Anyway, Lucy, what's going on?
Okay, so I drive a Saturn SL1 or 2, I'm not sure.
It doesn't make any difference.
Doesn't matter.
I guess it would. At any rate.
What year?
It's 1999.
Okay.
Okay.
So anytime I'm idling for, say, more than 15 to 30 seconds, smoke just seems to come out of the back of the car.
What color?
Sometimes it looks clear white, and it just, as it gets worse, it starts turning white. It's really hard because I can't go through any drive-thrus, you know, nothing like
that.
Oh,
yeah. Does it have a smell?
It smells like car stuff, like mufflers.
Right. It smells like exhaust.
Yeah, exhaust. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't smell sweet?
No.
Okay. Could I convince you that it might have a slight blue tinge?
Ah.
Sometimes I think it does. I know when I went to get like some sort of flush out, it was a lot of smoke, and some of it did look blue.
How many miles on this car?
About 127K.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That answers sense. Everything.
That answers everything for us. Thanks for calling. We don't want to tell you anything more.
Yeah, we might not.
Because it's only going to get you upset.
Yeah. Are you
ready? Make believe you didn't call. Just keep driving.
Yeah. Are you ready for another car?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Good.
Oh,
perfect.
Then we can tell you the brutal and honest truth. You're burning oil.
I'm burning oil.
Yeah. And the reason you
haven't... if you've been keeping track of the oil, you have noticed that it's been going down in level.
It has, but I do get the regular oil changes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but every time you get the oil change, they only drain out one quart.
Yeah,
instead of five.
Yeah.
Because you've burned off the other four quarts, and they're all coming out the tailpipe. I'm sure if you sat in an enclosed garage and revved the engine, you soon wouldn't be able to see across the garage.
Yeah, and you'd be dead besides.
Oh, yeah, you'd be dead.
And you'd be dead.
This is a sign I need another car.
So now that you realize that this car is destined for the boneyard, what have you got your eye on?
I'm liking the Honda Accord.
Honda Accord was a very nice car.
You could hardly go wrong.
Really?
Yeah. Would you buy a new one?
I'm thinking new, but you know with the Hondas, you can go a little lesser of year.
Yeah, you can certainly buy a used one, although the used one's probably as much as the new ones now because they're... and by the way, I would get a four-cylinder.
Four-cylinder, not like a six or...
Well, you don't need a six, and you get much better gas mileage with the four.
A little better.
Okay.
You might pick up a mile or two per gallon, and actually you'd probably benefit more in stop-and-go driving from having the four-cylinder engine.
Yeah.
Ah, good advice.
What kind of driving do you do, highway or city?
City, mostly.
City?
You'll get good mileage.
And if you do drive on the highway, the four-cylinder is more than adequate.
Yeah.
We have gotten into a bad habit of building cars with big, or buying cars, because the people who build them convince us that we need them. Who are buying cars with bigger and bigger engines and more powerful engines. And, of course, when they make a more powerful engine, that allows them to make a bigger car. When you make a bigger car, you need another more powerful engine for the next model year. So this thing keeps going, you know, ratcheting up. Bigger car, bigger engine, bigger car, bigger engine, bigger car. And we need to start ratcheting down and going in the other direction. So the truth is you want the smallest car with the smallest engine. But what really determines your mileage more than anything is the size and weight of the car.
And how you drive.
So if you took a Hummer and put a little four-cylinder engine in it, it's still going to get 12 miles to the gallon because the thing's just too big. So we need to make the choice to buy smaller cars, smaller and lighter cars, and then the smaller engines will be able to move these cars at the speeds we drive. So look at a four-cylinder Accord. I think you'll love it.
I think so. so.
Yeah.
Well, good advice, because I've been looking at the six cylinders. So.
And I like blue as a color.
Well, I do. Honda makes a very nice dark blue.
Nice blue, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, nice
and
blue.
I'm colorblind, and so is my brother.
Right. Well, we can see
so
blue.
What we think is blue could be anything.
Yeah, it could be purple.
It could be anything.
But I like a nice tan interior, too.
Peanut butter tan.
Wait.
Like
now you're getting into really deep doo-doo if you're talking about tan. You know that you have no idea what tan looks like.
I don't really. I just throw that. I throw those colors around.
Well,
you know.
That sounds good. Well, at least I definitely know now she's a beater.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
All right. See you later.
Bye. Thanks a lot.
Bye. Okay. It's time for us to take a very short break.
This is so we can recharge our batteries.
Oh, is that what that is? A lantern battery. I always thought that was your nose.
Well, it's smaller than that Sears diehard you got. Anyway, when we come back, I want to discuss another Grammy incident.
Oh, really? I'm intrigued.
You should be.
Well, we'll have that and lots more of your car questions right after this break, so please stay tuned.
She was a swinger with a skinny rear end. She made me a hero to all of my friends. Either a 20 on a scale of 10, or I wasn't half as picky back then. We went to drive-ins and basketball games, dances and parties and hamburger chains. We even parked along Lover's Lane. My buddies would ask, and the subject would change. Still when I'm out on the highway alone, I'll go back in time to her console shift and how much I miss that Dodge Swinger of mine.
And even though world health officials go on high alert for foot-in-mouth disease whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and a follow-up to Grammy.
Ah, yes, Grammy.
Now, I should remind people who Grammy is. One evening, my extended family went out to dinner to celebrate my older son's birthday.
And you hadn't put much forethought into it, had you?
No, not really.
For instance, you didn't order a cake?
No, we did not order a cake, but fortunately, luckily for us, the restaurant said that they could provide a cake for us.
What are the chances of that? And when that cake arrived, what did it say on it?
Well, it said, Happy Birthday, Grammy. We devoured it. And as we were leaving, my wife and I stopped to chat with some people at the next table and asked if they enjoyed their meal. And an older woman said, yes, in fact, it's my birthday. And I said, oh, really? It happens to be my son's birthday, too. And then she asked, did you folks have a cake? I said, well, yes, as a matter of fact, we did have a cake. And in a slightly annoyed tone, she said, well, how was it? My wife said, it was delicious. And then we left, and oblivious of the fact that that was Grammy, and we'd eaten her cake. And we have been unable to this day to locate Grammy to make amends. We're so sorry.
Well, you'll be glad to know that you're not the only lout who ate someone else's cake.
Oh, no?
This letter comes from Alice Donovan from Ireland, who writes, recently, my nephew's wife took him out for his birthday to a nice restaurant in Galway City. When they had finished the meal, a cake was brought out by one of the staff wishing him a happy birthday.
Uh-huh.
Both my nephew and his wife were happily perplexed and couldn't imagine how the restaurant knew it was his birthday. But my nephew loves cake, so he polished off about half of it in minutes. Well, they soon found out that there was another young couple sitting right behind them, and the birthday cake was meant for the boyfriend. To make them feel a bit better, my nephew turned around and said, ah, it was a lousy cake anyway. To which the girl looked horrified and said, I made it myself.
She probably burst into tears. I don't feel so bad now. I mean, we ate Grammy's cake, but at least we knew enough to get out of there in a hurry. Anyway, look, this is where I usually give the answer to last week's puzzler.
And where I usually look like an idiot for not remembering.
I think I'd remove the phrase look like. Anyway, the puzzler is on its annual summer recess. And if you're interested, you can go to our website, cartalk.com, and try to solve the archival puzzler we've posted for you this week.
How do you decide which archival puzzlers to revive? I mean, do you have a system here?
Well, you know, I sort out all the puzzles by series, and then I try to find one I can still remember the answer to.
Gotcha.
Anyway, if you've got a question about your car, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Amy from Troy, New York.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Troy. There's something in Troy, like a big school.
Uncle Sam. And RPI.
RPI, yeah.
Yeah.
I went through there on a train once.
Well, that must have been a long time ago because there's no trains in Troy.
No kidding. Mm-hmm.
Well, he went with Lewis and Clark.
Maybe I was driving the car. I don't remember. What's up, Amy?
Well, I have an 89 Toyota Corolla wagon, and you said that this is the most reliable car ever built.
Wait a minute. My brother said that.
I think I said the 79 was, but 79, 89, what's the difference?
Well, it has a hard time starting, and then once it starts, it chugs a lot. It's never getting clean gas or something, my mechanic says.
Yeah.
What he's done is he's replaced the ADR valve, he's replaced something else, he gave it a tune-up, and he's cleaned out the carburetor a few times and put on bigger and bigger air filters.
Tires.
Fuel filters.
Yeah.
And bigger and bigger.
Yeah, yeah. Now he's up to the pint-sized fuel filter. Because every time, you know, I take it back and I drive it and it chugs me along and sometimes stalls, you know, once this stuff gets too clogged up, he'll go back and he'll look in and he says, you have water in your fuel filter and water in your carburetor.
Oh.
I don't buy it.
No?
No.
That's what, I mean, he's shown it to me, and to me it looks like rust.
It could be rust.
Could be from the gas tank?
Right.
Has he ever actually taken the carburetor off the car and disassembled it?
I'm not sure. He says that, I think maybe he hasn't done that because it's an expensive job.
Well, if he has, I want his number because I'm afraid to take those things apart.
When he says he cleaned the carburetor, I mean, does he mean he sprayed some carburetor?
He may have cleaned the outside of it.
No.
Yeah, I told my wife, I cleaned the house the other day. I washed it down with the hose.
Yeah. Outside's just important as the inside.
It is indeed. Well, you have, unfortunately, one of the worst Corollas ever made because when they realized that they couldn't use the carburetor they had been using successfully for years and years because of more stringent emission standards, they went ahead and designed this thing called the variable Venturi carburetor, which is what you have.
Uh-huh.
And these have been nothing but trouble.
Oh.
And
not only that, these are the ones that there are only two people in the world who understand how they were put together.
Right, and the guy who was working on yours, he ain't one of them. And we're not either.
Oh, no.
But we have had luck.
Did you ever take one apart?
Not yet. I'm waiting for my brother to buy one of these
have
cars.
Like 10,000 pieces
no,
in it? It's like an automatic transmission.
No, I don't know what it's got in it, but I know if I took it apart, I'd never get it back together. And they're expensive. They're like $700 or $800 or something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that obviously is the fallback position. You could just buy a new one. If we're convinced that his diagnosis is right, and I am convinced that the problem is in the carburetor, but I'm not so sure that it's
you don't
water.
Think it's rust? Can see the rust, it's rust, man.
It could be rust.
Do you think it might be that there's something in the bottom of the gas tank?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, if that's the case, you should take the gas tank out rather than go through this thing. Pretty soon you're going to have a gas filter that's bigger than the engine.
Right.
You won't be able to close the hood. And I would say that instead of putting a larger filter in, what he should do is put the filters in tandem.
Okay.
You know, in other words, in series.
Uh-huh.
So that what the first one doesn't grab, the second one grabs.
Uh-huh.
I would also ask him to take the tank out. But the thing we've had the most luck with, we have a machine which is made by Snap-on called the Motor Vac.
Mm.
And it is a machine that runs a cleaning solution through the carburetor and then makes the engine combust a mixture of gasoline and the cleaning solution. So it actually sucks this stuff through all the passages, and in doing so, it cleans them all out. And if you can find someone who has a motor vac,
okay,
if you did that and put a couple of filters in series, I bet you would be all set.
You may still have to take the tank out.
That's what I'm afraid of, because there's so much rust, it might, you know, the tank might not go back on.
Yeah, I mean, if after a few weeks you can see rust in the filters.
Well, don't forget, he's got this Kilimanjaro filter on there. I mean, he's got this enormous filter that's going to catch, you might be catching rust from other people's cars. No, I don't think I would.
See, I would hate to go to all this trouble and then find out I still got rust coming through the system. Mm-hmm. I would take the tank out first, get rid of the source of the problem, and then get the motor vac, don't you think?
That ain't sporting.
my brother's mentality is the mechanic's point of view, where he can do the motor vac thing twice.
There you go.
You exactly. Do the motor vac thing, it works great, and 2 weeks later you're back, and you say, I guess we're going to have to take out the tank, and of course now the carburetor's all full of rust again.
Right. We'll have to do the motor vac again. We were trying to save you money.
That's it. We were trying to save you money.
But in doing so...
Does that still work?
Oh, yeah. But in doing so, it ends up costing you three times as much, but our intentions were good.
Okay.
See you, Amy.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. It's Zach Hunter from Toledo, Ohio.
Zach.
Zach?
Zach, correct.
From Toledo.
Toledo.
What's going on, Zach?
Well, I drive a 94 Cutlass Supreme, probably one of the nicest jalopies in the area.
Was this Grandma's car?
It was Grandma's car, and then I made the stupid mistake of buying it off Grandma.
Was Grandma driving a 5 Series BMW?
No, Lincoln Town Car.
A Lincoln Town Car, that's right. Yeah, how'd you know?
Is she?
So what's up with this thing?
There's a lot of things up with this thing. Like, I can't sum it up. I have to call you guys a numerous amount of times. But recently what happened is I was turning the wheel, and the middle part of my steering wheel fell out, like the part that holds the airbag and the horn and all that.
Really?
And it just keeps, like, falling out. So I duct taped it up, right?
Ah. Oh, the horn pad kept falling out.
It's more than the horn pad.
It's the airbag.
It's the airbag. The airbag's just falling out.
Yeah, or actually, on a 94 Cutlass, you have two little horn buttons, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't blow the horn by hitting the pad.
No.
You blow the horn by hitting, so the horn still works.
No, the horn's dead. It died after this. I don't know why.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Did the wires connected to it fall out too?
No, they're still connected. That's my question. I wonder if the airbag's just going to blow when I'm driving down the road one day.
No.
No?
Probably not.
All right, cool.
No, I don't.
And you just duct taped it.
Yeah, I just duct taped it.
Well, what else could you do?
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm not paying for a new one.
Well, you could. It may be that the clips that hold it in are worn out, but you'd have a hard time finding them. Your best bet, maybe, is to go to a junkyard and buy a whole new used steering wheel.
Yeah.
And you might want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to think that, you know, in a critical situation that you, as you were about to rear end an 18 wheeler, that you said, "Oops, the airbag is on the floor." And if it blows, you might not like where it blows toward. You know.
Yeah,
so.
We're guessing that it probably will still work. And it might.
Oh, it will.
I would hate to be responsible for that.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to have to call your mother.
Yeah.
Well, she'd probably just listen in and find out and then know you were responsible for it anyways, you know?
I would take it to a repair shop and say, look, here's what I want to do. I want to do it as cheaply as possible. If I go to a junkyard and find a steering wheel that is exactly the same, it may be the wrong color, but it has to look the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise the splines and whatnot will be wrong. But if I find one, how much will you guys charge me to put it in? And it's no big deal. I mean, there's one nut in the middle and a few wires are disconnected. It's pretty easy.
All right, cool.
All right, good luck, Zach. Thank you, man. Because you never know when that airbag's going to blow.
Yeah, and it'd be nice to be in the right spot.
You could become a soprano. See you later, man.
All right, see you later. Thanks.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Maureen calling from Portland, Maine.
What's going on, Maureen?
Portland, Maine.
I have a 1994 Volvo wagon,
but
my problem is more of a mechanic problem than a car problem.
What kind of a Volvo wagon is it? Like
940.
940, okay.
Well, my mechanic was working on my car a couple weeks ago, and I have these kayak racks on my car, Mm-hmm. And while he was working on the car, he turned around and he hit his head on my kayak rack and ended up having to get 9 stitches in his head.
Yeah, we hate roof racks on cars. Can't tell you how many of our guys have been injured.
You'd hate mine even more because they extend about a foot further than most roof racks do.
And you'd be surprised at how stupid they've all become in the garage.
From hitting our heads on
from
these
From hitting
things.
Their heads. We never thought they could get any stupider.
Well,
but they have.
No, we had one guy that even took a sawzall to somebody's roof rack.
Oh, no.
Well, he had to. It was him or the roof rack. That's the way he looked at it. It was a steel cage death match.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, he didn't take a sawzall to it. But my husband and I were wondering, should we do something for him, for
stitches.
The mechanic?
How many stitches did you say? 8?
9. Right in his forehead.
That's a lot of stitches.
Well, 10's usually the cutoff.
Oh.
Yeah, are they right up? Where are they? Are they right across the middle of the forehead so that he looks like something out of a monster movie?
Well, I don't know. I didn't actually see him afterwards. My husband did.
Yeah.
And, but I think they're pretty prominent. And my mechanic has a fair amount of forehead showing.
Oh, so he's got that Cro-Magnon forehead?
His hair starts a lot further back.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you, you have already compensated him.
By how?
Did you get the bill yet for fixing your car?
Well, yeah, actually we did.
Yeah.
And we paid it.
You paid already for the stitches, the downtime, the trip to the hospital. Yeah, you paid. And you're going to continue to pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. This is sort of a new mechanic relationship. We're in that sort of courtship phase.
Oh, the holding hands.
Oh,
yeah.
Really.
It was like the third mechanic date.
Oh, yeah. No, I think baked goods.
Baked goods.
Baked goods will go a long, long way. I mean, you could certainly give him money, but he has other ways to get money from you.
Yeah.
He'll just
overcharge
you, which is what we do when we have head injuries.
Well, that's kind of what I thought. If I should bake him a pie or some cookies or something.
I mean, you might take the approach that it's really his responsibility to take care of himself while he's on the job, because there are lots of dangerous things.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that these racks are sort of rare.
Yeah.
And people are not used to them.
Well, that's the problem. And when you're used to working on cars that don't have them, the one car that does have them presents a huge hazard.
Right.
Especially if they stick out farther than they're supposed to. What we do now when cars come into the shop is we wrap the things with styrofoam.
Well, yeah, they hung some rags on them, but then they took the rags off.
Well, the rags go a long, long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they will learn how to take care of it because you have to take account of the fact that they're there.
Right.
Because you can't ask people to take them off.
Well, actually, we took them off. We ended up having to take the car back because something
was quite
right.
Oh, and you took them off so they wouldn't recognize the car.
Because we thought maybe, by him hitting his head, he might have had amnesia and he sort of forgot that it was
Yeah, that's always a hope, right? That could happen.
So if he didn't have the visual cue of the rack on the car, maybe.
This an older guy?
I wouldn't say older. I mean,
over 40?
Yeah, over 40.
But he's got a big forehead. I mean, you said receding hairline.
Yeah.
So the scar is prominent?
Well, I haven't seen it, but my husband says it's pretty much right on.
I mean,
his
is
forehead.
It one of those foreheads that you could like show a movie on if you had to? You know?
No, I don't think it's that quite big a forehead.
Yeah, because sometimes you can just comb the hair down because the scar is probably going to be there forever.
I think it's too far from the hair.
Oh, it's too far from the hair to do it. Yeah, jeez.
So he's
hats. He's gonna have to get hats.
Yeah, or a really bad little toupee.
Oh God,
right there.
Jeez. Well, Maureen, I can't tell you anything except make him a lot of baked stuff if you have
baked
to.
Baked goods.
Yeah,
okay.
Baked. Start with that. Start with pies or we in the auto repair industry are partial to like banana breads and the like.
Oh, banana breads. Okay.
Because you can eat it with dirty hands. Just pick up a piece and bite it.
And you don't even know it.
You don't even
know.
You don't even notice
matter.
The grease.
Something dark, so it's the
dark
grease.
Thing.
Something grease colored.
Something that absorbs grease.
See you, Maureen.
All right. Well, thanks, you guys.
Take it easy.
You too.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Well, that's sage advice. All right, look, we've reached that particular time in the show.
Oh, is this when the June Taylor dancers come out and do the kaleidoscope thing?
Well, no. This is when NPR's libel attorney comes in and reapplies the duct tape to your mouth.
All right. Well, After we take a break, I've got some puns that will knock your socks off.
Oh, jeez.
Some real groaners here.
Oh, great. If you must, we'll be back with more of your calls and lots more in just a minute.
You're going to love these, I'm telling you.
I doubt it. There's nothing more exciting than the sparkle of chrome. I call a big band that with a clear glass dome. And there's a place downtown where you can see them all. Where you can browse all night and really have a ball. At the Custom Car Show. At the Custom Car Show. Can't think of any other place that I would rather be than the Custom Car Show. You see the surfing hoodies and the new school goodies at the Custom Car Show. Well, you get to the show and you walk through the door. There's showboats and trophies all over the floor. The band that was playing, our Bobo band, they are the coolest band in the land. They were playing at the Custom Car Show. It's a Custom Car Show. Can't think of any other place that I would rather be than the Custom Car Show. You see the cars of the land, plus a big ball band at the Custom Car Show.
And even though electric car antennas quickly retract whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a few groaners, I'm afraid.
These are not the long, drawn-out puns that you hate. These are the short ones that you hate.
Okay, I'm sure. What do you got, man?
All right. These were sent to me by Andy Bell.
Go ahead. Lay it on me.
Did you hear about the guy whose whole left side was cut off? He's all right now. I liked it already, didn't you?
Yeah, no, yeah, it's great. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. An invisible man marries an invisible woman. The kids were nothing to look at either.
Are there more just like this?
Yeah.
They get better or worse?
Worse.
Oh, good.
A small boy swallowed some coins and was taken to a hospital. When his grandmother telephoned to ask how he was, a nurse said, "No change yet."
You're right, they're getting worse.
I was having dinner with Garry Kasparov, the world chess champion. The tablecloth was checkered, and it took him 2 hours to pass me the salt. All right, one more. I wondered why the baseball was getting bigger. Then it hit me.
Well, those could have been... No, they couldn't have been worse. Anyway, for those of you who are missing the puzzle right about now...
That wouldn't be me.
Oh, I know that.
Actually, that's not true. I mean, I do enjoy the puzzler. If only to watch you squirm when the hate mail starts flying.
Well, look, the puzzler will be back in a few weeks. In the meantime, you can check out this week's archival puzzler on the website. Or if you have a car question, you can give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
How you doing?
Good. Who's this?
Charlie Zapp from Lynn, Massachusetts. Talk to you from the GE plant.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie Zapp.
Yeah.
Lynn, Massachusetts.
From the GE. This is where you guys make the electric boats, right?
Well, we make the big fighter engines for the F-14.
Yeah, you make jet engines up there.
Same thing.
Yeah, they're a little easier to, troubleshoot than cars sometimes.
Yeah, maybe. So anyway, what's your last name you said?
Well, my nickname is Zapp, Z-A-P.
Oh, it must be Zapparelli.
Well, it's Polish. How's that? Zapolsky.
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 Yeah.
Oh.
Good old
See,
nice.
Your grandparents must have been Zapolsterers.
There you go.
So what's going on, Charlie?
Oh, I don't know. My youngest boy, he's got a 93 Ford Taurus. Car runs really well, but the only thing it does when you first start up and it's cold, the idle surges up and down to the point where it almost stalls, and then she comes right back up again and goes down again, almost like a slow heartbeat.
Uh-huh. So it's...
Yeah, like it only lasts for about 5 minutes. When it warms up, it's gone.
Uh-huh. And the check engine light has never come on during this time?
No.
You haven't had anyone look at this either?
I had it to a garage, and the guy couldn't figure it out, so that's when I decided I'm not going to nickel and dime this thing anymore.
Well, yeah, I'm going to call two guys and talk to them for nothing.
I've been trying about a month to get to you guys.
Well, anyway... There are a lot of things it could be. I mean, there are two things that come to mind.
Yeah, what are the two things that come to your little mind?
No,
I'm talking to my brother.
Okay, right.
It could be a faulty coolant temp sensor.
I like it.
And it might not be bad enough to turn on the check engine light. It may just be out of whack when the engine's cold, and that would make the thing surge because it would confuse the computer. And they're about $20.
The other thing it could be is something called the idle air control. If you open the hood and look in the vicinity where the throttle cable attaches to the manifold,
Yeah. You
will find a little device that's held on by two screws and it has a plug on it, and that's the idle air control. And you can unbolt that thing and clean it with a solvent like Gum Out, you know, carburetor cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
It may be that that thing is sticking and it's causing the surge. So I would do that first because that doesn't cost much of anything.
You know, funny that you mention that because I took it to this guy, and when I first took it to him, he said there's a thing called a dead stop idle, and he adjusted that and it worked for a little while. But he says next time if it does it, he's going to have to clean out what you're saying there.
The idle air control.
And clean it out.
One thing that you can do is while it's surging like this, take off your shoe and give this thing a little whack with the heel of your shoe. Boom! And if it does anything different, that probably means that was it.
This is why we don't let my brother in the shop anymore, Charlie.
This is a scientific approach.
But it's not unscientific because the shoe is just exactly the right implement with which to whack this thing.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't want to hit it with a hammer.
It's aluminum. You might break it.
You might break it if you hit it with anything heavier than a shoe. The shoe is relatively soft.
Yeah, yeah.
So the heel of the shoe is just the right consistency. And wait.
I'm with you.
So
you coming to work on Monday?
I'll be there.
But try the cleaner first.
Yeah.
Or try the shoe, then the cleaner. And if that doesn't work, try a coolant temp sensor. And if that doesn't work, then you call us back.
Hey, Charlie, lots of luck. And if you have any trouble with those jet engines,
don't
take off your shoe.
I'll take off my safety shoes. Very good, gentlemen.
See you, Charlie.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call.
Bye. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Elizabeth, and I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm having a problem with my 1999 Volkswagen Bug.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. It's a clutch issue.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the deal. I split my time between Philadelphia, Center City, and I work out in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, which is in central Pennsylvania.
Oh.
So I drive back to Philadelphia on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when I'm going at quite high speeds in between the two areas, and I'm on like I-80, and I come to go off and exit off, I cannot get out of fifth gear. The only thing my gear will do is go into neutral, and I'm not able to downshift it. And so what I have to do is just keep it in neutral, and as I'm going off the exit, you know, I just let my speed go down, and eventually I'm able to force it into, say, second gear. However, when I'm driving around Center City, Philadelphia, if I'm driving around Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, and I'm zipping around, and as long as I haven't been going at high speeds for a long period of time, I can easily downshift and go between first and second and fifth and fourth and third and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Is this a problem?
It sure is.
It is a problem.
Well, I mean, this is dangerous.
It is very dangerous.
Well, that is what, although you could stay in fifth, certainly. But when you step on the clutch, does the clutch feel any different?
It feels very different. And what happens is when I'm stepping on the, it's almost losing pressure. And so when it won't downshift, I almost have to pump it to try to get more pressure or resistance into the clutch.
Right. So the pedal feels floppy under your foot.
It feels very floppy, like it's just died or gone soft.
Well, typically a clutch pedal will have like an inch of free play, and what I mean by that is that the initial inch of movement of that pedal you could do with your finger.
Okay.
And then it gets hard to press.
And it would require your leg at that point. But you, I'm led to believe from your description here, have several inches of free play in those instances where you can't shift it.
Exactly. But why is it only happening after I drive at high speeds for a certain amount of time?
Well, we haven't figured that out yet.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're still working on Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to spell Philadelphia.
Well, I think...
Yeah, I do too.
What?
You know, I think, therefore...
I am.
I am.
Uh-oh. Is this going to be expensive?
Oh, it might not be.
I think so.
This car must have a hydraulic clutch.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for that reason, it's the clutch master cylinder is conking out on you when it gets hot. And it's only because of continued high-speed operation that you're generating enough heat to get the thing to fail.
Okay.
So did you take this to your Volkswagen dealer and complain about it?
I have not done that yet.
When you have the problem.
Yes.
And you can't shift.
Yes.
How long does it take for you to get it back so that it works?
I would probably say a good 6 minutes. Because usually what happens is I'm on I-80 and I'm exiting and go to 476, right, so I can go into Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm downshifting, right, because I can't exit at the speed of
which
I'm driving.
Well,
and
is
so
there
that's
any,
what happens.
Is there any chance that you could identify a Volkswagen dealer who's within 5 minutes
of
where you are?
At that very moment?
Well, maybe.
Well, do it in, if you
maybe
did
it, do it
in
on
advance,
the internet.
If you did it in advance and found out the location of all the VW dealers along Route 80 there.
Okay.
Call them in advance and say,
okay,
I've been having this problem. Can I just drop in someday unannounced and have someone take a quick look at it?
Is that the point they'll be able to tell? They'll do their diagnostics
at that point. And then you can suggest to them that they replace the clutch master cylinder, which we're convinced is the culprit.
Interesting. Is that very expensive?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
And it might even be covered by warranty or recall or something.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I would pursue that avenue first. Maybe they'll...
Warranty? The car's 10 years old, yeah.
That's what I was thinking. It's kind of old.
Who knows?
they might be nice about
maybe
it.
Maybe they'll feel some guilt. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
I think so, considering I'm putting my life in danger as I'm, like,
well, you are
off
putting
I-80.
Your life in danger, and I'm worried about it. I think you should have this taken care of as soon as you can.
I'll have it fixed, and I'll let you know how it goes.
All right. See you, Elizabeth.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Robert from Soddy Daisy, Tennessee.
Soddy Daisy.
How do you spell that? S-A?
No, S-O-D-D-Y.
Soddy.
Soddy. D-A-I-S-Y.
Soddy Daisy.
Soddy Daisy.
Yeah, Daisy's growing in the midst, amidst the grasses.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's kind of a charming
name. And where is Soddy Daisy?
Right outside of Chattanooga.
Oh, okay, we got it. Well, I'm glad we get that straightened out. Well, it's been nice talking to you, Robert. So what's happening?
Our company bought a used pickup truck, a 1990 Ford F-250 XLT, 43,000 miles, mint condition, as we're waving to the elderly couple to drive away and thanking them and everything for such a great
used truck. Did you happen to witness them laughing up their sleeves? Never
mind. No. Waving to them as they're, you know, smiling and everybody's happy. I say goodbye, and she says, goodbye, take good care of Mark. And I kind of cock my head to the side, and she said, Mark, the truck's name is Mark. And I think to myself, of all the things that she could have told me, drive safe, you know, put unleaded gas in it, don't go over 65.
She had to tell
the
you
the truck
name.
Being named Mark is the one that really just cut to the bone and cut to the quick.
Yeah.
Because I've always had a vehicle that's been named a female.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, I thought all great vessels were female names, and I'm wondering if I can change the name of the truck, feminize it, or change it to a female, and not cause the truck any psychological, mechanical problems.
So you think if you decide to change Mark to Marcia or Mary or something like that, that
it's not going to respond or
have an identity crisis.
I've never understood the idea of giving a vehicle a name.
No.
I've never had.
Now, to be fair,
really?
Tommy's called his vehicle some names.
It always started with you, snow good.
But they actually.
There's a level of respect and a dedication, I think, that comes to it.
Yeah,
I'm going to take good care of her.
Right. I think she's
going to take good care of me.
Well, I'm not so. I'll tell you, we have seen plenty of junk boxes in our shop that have had names.
Yeah.
So I think naming a car doesn't necessarily ensure that it's going to be taken care of and treated with respect. So you have this thing, and you've had it for how long, Robert?
We've had it for about 4 weeks.
Ah, 4 weeks. And has anyone called it by name?
We did once, and then in front of the truck, and then we had a brainstorm at the shop and came up with Marcy as a feminization of it.
Well, I think Marquee might be better. I remember there was an actress named Marquee Post.
Really?
Yeah. And so Marquee, he could just think it's a cute name, but he might not realize that he's had a sex change.
Yeah.
So you name your vehicles as a matter of course. I mean,
all the time.
Really? Can you share with us some of the names that you've had?
Well, the first one, it was a Eclipse, and her name was Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And not any others that you could mention to us? You share with our listening audience? It's all right. You don't have
but
to.
But it doesn't.
Well,
you know,
I'm going to tell you. If the roles had been such that I were in this car, and this old lady had said to me, "Take good care of," I've never named a car in my life.
No.
If she had said to me, "Take good care of my," I said, "Yeah, right. Okay, see you later." And that would have been the end. I wouldn't have given it another thought.
Another thought. Really?
No, I mean, your car, your truck doesn't have a soul. I mean, it isn't a being. It's a mechanical device, and as such, doesn't deserve a name.
That
I know
hurts.
I'm going to get a lot of flack about this.
Well, I've never given a name to a vehicle. Never.
Well,
I don't understand why anyone would do it.
But lots of people do it, and because we don't understand it, we're going to ask our listeners and people who visit our website to help. So we're going to open up a discussion area on the site. Because we're eager to know how many of our listeners name their cars and what their reasons are for naming their cars.
And whether they are male or female and roughly how old they are.
Well, I think more women name their cars than guys.
I do, too.
I think that's for sure.
Yeah.
And more than that, I want to find out if people at least believe that they take care of their cars better. Because they've named them. Because now if you name somebody, it's like it's a member of your family.
Sure.
If one of your kids was named, you know, Mark, would you not feed him? Well, anyway, Robert, I would stick with Marky for the time being because I don't think he'll be able to tell.
Okay.
Yeah, and Marky could be a female name.
Excellent.
And we'll keep you posted on what goes on. Well, you can check the site
yourself.
Yeah,
I'll go check it out.
All right, man.
Boy, thanks for calling.
These tough questions are killing us. See you later.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, it's happened again. You squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blooper, Penelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the East Tahiti, Baked Stuff Ziti, Extra Meaty, Frosty Weedy, and Rio Needy Free Lunch Treaty with your ex's new sweetie, it's John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Mara Genovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Claudio Vernight. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our Ralph Cramden impersonator from the Dubai office is Mohammed Ahmed Ahmed. Our martial arts trainer is Anita DeGroin. Our physics graduate student is Laura Venertia. Our alignment specialist is Lou Sagusi. Our undergarment inspector is IC London. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn, and the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the full-time cafe crowd in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Oh, don't drive like my brother.
Right. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1235, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, attention iPhone users.
Yeah, we have a brand new app for you, and guess what? This one's actually useful.
Get out!
No, really, it's called Breakdown Lane. You load it on your iPhone, and if you have car trouble when you're away from home, you open the app, and it instantly maps out the nearest listener-recommended mechanics along with the shop's ratings.
Whoa!
Now, how's that for useful?
I'm stunned.
Find out how to get Car Talk's Breakdown Lane app right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though our kids change their Facebook status to hiding and denying parentage whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.